This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin, Chuang and Shaoning. 7.36 in the morning, Thursday the 10th of October. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill where I'll speak with Tan Sri Rais Yatim, Supreme Council member, Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia. Now, he has held the portfolios of Foreign Affairs and Communications Minister and is now the Negeri Sembilan State Chairman for Bersatu. So we're going to be talking to him about Pakatan Harapan's prospects for maintaining their seat of power come GE15, as well as relationships between various parties within the coalition. And that's going to be happening after the 8 o'clock news. But in some international headlines for you this morning, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, as the saying goes. It makes sense that China and India would be looking to work together to counter the common enemy that is the United States.
Given President Trump's tariff-happy trade policies towards both India and China. So what better way to ignite this rivalry than to draw the eye of two of your biggest competitors, right? But the China-India relationship is far from straightforward. There's a number of long-standing grievances that complicate bilateral ties. And these irritants are coming to light ahead of this informal summit between Xi Jinping and Narendra Modi in southern India this weekend.
So to better understand the balance of powers between China and India, particularly from India's perspective, we turn to Professor Kantip Bajpai, Professor of Asian Studies at the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy. Thank you for joining us, Professor. Now, China and India have had a testy relationship for quite a while now. In a nutshell, what would you say are the main pressure points in ties between the two?
Well, the border is always a problem, and the fear of Chinese troop incursions into Indian territory. The second is Pakistan, and the possibility of a Pakistani-Chinese alliance of some kind. And I would say, thirdly, the trade deficit. It's massively in China's favor to the tune of $70 billion. So if you were sitting in New Delhi and making decisions on China, I think these would be the three main things that you would worry about.
And Professor, when it comes to the power dynamics, who would you say has the upper hand?
Clearly, China is well ahead. At last count, its economy is roughly 4 to 5 times India's size. And so the balance of power in that sense is clearly in China's favor. Militarily, too, China generally, in most important weapon systems, is superior to India, including in military infrastructure. So I think the gap is very decisively in China's favor, and New Delhi knows it as well.
So, Prof, given the obvious power imbalance, would you say that India holds more issues against China than vice versa? Or is the wariness equal on both sides?
I think they're both wary of each other for different reasons. On the Chinese side, there's always a fear that India, because it hosts the Dalai Lama and Tibetan refugees, that it could be awkward in China's domestic politics over Tibet. And now that the Dalai is getting older and older and may pass from the stage, there's a worry about Indian interference or an Indian role in a post-Dalai period. On the Indian side, I think it's primarily the enormous power gap. And as I said, the fear of Chinese military incursions onto the Indian side of the border. So I think there are grievances on both sides of different kinds. And they've managed fairly well, but they haven't got past all those differences.
Now, in light of the slowdown in the global economy, are economic considerations going to be the key issue that you think will bridge the tensions between India and China?
I think periodically they are enough to outweigh their differences. I mean, certainly since President Trump came along with his trade war with China and a smaller trade war with India, it's clear that Beijing and New Delhi have got closer together. And the previous informal summit between Xi Jinping and Narendra Modi happened after Trump's economic diplomacy. And as that has continued, we're going to see Xi Jinping showing up in India in the next couple of days to meet Narendra Modi. So I think very clearly Trump's protectionist policies and his trade war is pushing the two countries together. That's not the only thing that's pushing them together. I mean, I think in the longer term, the prospects of climate change, they're both very worried about it and both very susceptible to it. And they both pump out a lot of emissions. And I think the third area, which is one to watch for the future, is, of course, cyber, the future of the internet, and, of course, 5G. China is a leader on 5G. They both have concerns about the way that the United States thinks about the regulation of the internet. So I think those are areas where they might in fact come together.
So when it comes to technology and 5G, do you see India tying up with the US to isolate China then?
No, not on, the internet regulation. I think India is closer to China on that, in the sense that both want their governments to be able to regulate the internet and what's put on social media websites and so on. So I think in that sense, they're more statist than the Western and American position is. And on 5G, clearly, there's a difference between China and the United States, but India, you know, wants 5G. It doesn't have its own technology. It thinks that the Americans are probably not the leaders in this area. China is. India hasn't made a decision yet on 5G, but it's conceivable that Delhi will opt for, you know, Huawei or Chinese 5G rather than a Western one.
So now, ahead of Xi Jinping's visit to India, China has been seen softening its comments on Kashmir. Prof, what's your read on this, and how does China's position on Kashmir complicate its relationship with India?
Yeah, I think the first thing to be said is that Beijing has to be a bit more consistent. I mean, it's quite understandable what it's doing, but I think it's really complicating New Delhi's decision-making because it just doesn't know where China is. So in some sense, it's better for Beijing to be very consistent, either very pro-Pakistani or in a more neutral position. But this kind of flip-flopping every few days is making things very unstable, I think. The second is that the big fear is that when China supports Pakistan more, it makes the Pakistanis more difficult to handle for New Delhi. And so I think the main point of tension with China over its support of Pakistan on Kashmir is that it makes the Pakistanis more stiff-necked and difficult to deal with because they think they have the Chinese behind them. So that's, I think, the other concern. And the third is that China can be awkward in the UN. India has long insisted that Kashmir is no longer an international issue. It's a bilateral issue with Pakistan, and it doesn't want the issue debated in the UN. But China, as a very prominent member of the UN Security Council with a veto, you know, is in a position to raise this in the UN, in the Security Council, and embarrass India and make it difficult. India doesn't have a veto. And lastly, I would say, as a kind of a related point, long ago, back in 1963, Pakistan ceded from its side of Kashmir a portion of Kashmir to the Chinese. So in the long run, if there is to be a final settlement of Kashmir, in fact, there are three parties that have to sit at the table, that is China, Pakistan, and India. And so when the Chinese now pronounce on Kashmir, this sends chills down India's spine because it's a reminder that there will be a trilateral kind of negotiation over Kashmir eventually, which only makes things even more complicated, frankly.
Thank you so much, Professor. And that was Professor Kanti Bajpai, a professor of Asian Studies at the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy. Now we have a couple of messages coming up for you, and then we'll be coming back with a look at some local stories, including Utusan's recent closure. So be sure to stay tuned here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.